Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, how you guys doing? It's Thursday, January 29th, 2015. Second show of In Between the Lines. I'm Andrew, and I'm with Roscoe again. How you doing, Roscoe?
Doing pretty good. Just want to give a shout-out to all the fans out there listening, tuning in today.
Oh, yes, our many fans. Feel free to call you guys. We're going to get on some pretty big topics today. And before we start, we're going to touch a little bit on Josh Gordon, Marshawn Lynch, Deflategate, Super Bowl, even Manny Pacquiao, and Money Mayweather. Little report, Jalen Rose actually tweeted that. He says it's through and through May 2nd, but that's not really going to be a big topic for debate. Before we start, Roscoe, I'm just wanting to know if you did see that DeMarcus Cousins and Damian Lillard were both held off of the All-Star team.
I did see that DeMarcus and Damian are held off. I don't know who I'm more upset about because they're both having incredible years. Like I said on Tuesday's show, I felt that DeMarcus should have been a starter. And for him to be held out on this All-Star lineup, it's just... It kind of hurts because this guy's working so hard. He was called off the Team USA team over the summer, and now he's not on the All-Star lineup. You know, maybe it will push him to work harder, so we'll see what happens.
It's ridiculous. I'll just get a quick opinion on it. I think Kobe's going to be replaced with Damian Lillard. He's shooting 45% from the field, 38% from three, which is 1% lower than Steph Curry. Averaging 6 assists, 5 rebounds. Damian's going to make it. Cousins should have made it over one of my favorite players, Kevin Durant. I love Kevin Durant. He only played 21 games this year. I don't see a need for him to be in the All-Star game. Yeah, but we're going to get started with a little Josh Gordon. We're going to save the Super Bowl stuff for after. All right, if any of you guys don't know, Josh Gordon just failed what I believe is his fourth drug test, maybe, since college. Now he's looking at a one-year ban for drinking alcohol, which was against his parole. He had to do a substance abuse class after his 10-game suspension last year. Part of that was to not drink alcohol. He gets suspended. He put out an essay today, coincidentally, calling out the media and such, who people who are judging him that he has a problem when he claims he doesn't have a problem. Roscoe, what is your take? I mean, what the heck is he thinking with what he's doing?
You know, as a big Cleveland Browns fan, I don't even know if he's thinking about himself. Like, this is his career that he's laying on the line, and he's just throwing it all away. This guy led the NFL in receiving yards in 2013, was a All-Pro, Pro Bowl starter, and he just throws it all over. He throws it away for some weed, alcohol, and some cocaine-based medicine that he didn't check with the league. I think he's reckless with his habits. He doesn't really care about his teammates. Before he turned 23 years old, he was second behind only the great Randy Moss in stats as a wide receiver, which is spectacular because, I mean, we all know how great Randy Moss turned out to be, even though he had his character issues. But it's just ignorance. To get that from him, to know how great of a player you are, people would die that had the talent that you have, and you just throw it all away because you can't follow the rules. You was subjected to not drink alcohol, and 2 days after the regular season, you drink alcohol with one of your teammates on a flight to Las Vegas. I'm not sure.
I don't even know if I believe that. I don't even think I believe that.
I don't know if I believe it either, but what he wrote that in his personal essay or whatever you want to call it. I don't know who the teammate is. But I'll tell you one thing who that sounds like. That sounds like Johnny Manziel. And I don't want to, point any fingers. But we have to remember, Josh Gordon was suspended the last game of the year in 2014 season because he showed up late to a walkthrough. I just don't think he wants to play football, which is sad because how great of a football player and how much talent he has. I mean, look at what he won in the years. His first two seasons, he combined for 2,500 yards receiving, 14 touchdowns, I believe, and he's just tearing up the NFL. And he can't lay off of drugs and alcohol. If you're going to be a great athlete, I don't think you need those things in your life. I'm not in his shoes, but after reading the article, I don't agree with the article at all. But it seems like he's trying to make excuses, saying he's a product of the environment that he was in. If you don't think any other athlete had hardships as a child, then you're just ignorant. And that's what I believe Josh Gordon is.
Well, that's what irritates me the most. He calls out Chris Carter, who had drug problems, and Chris Carter became arguably one of the, top five receivers of all time, definitely. And Chris Carter had hardships. So you're telling me that Chris Carter wasn't a product of his environment? He was, and look what he did. He turned it around. I'm not saying Josh Gordon won't turn it around, but I'm sorry, I just don't see it anymore. I don't know what he's thinking. I actually wrote it down here, before the show. This is, for many of you who don't know, this is the full list of everything I could find on what Josh Gordon has had. If you didn't know, he went to Baylor. So, imagine if he was healthy at Baylor, no drug problems. Him and RG3, who I think was a great college quarterback, and not in the talking NFL. So he would have been there with that team, right? 2010, his sophomore year, he falls asleep with a friend in Taco Bell, woken up by the police because they were just sleeping there, found a bunch of weed and alcohol on his friend, not him. Josh Gordon suspended. 2011, suspended for a failed drug test for marijuana. He decides to transfer to Utah. Can't play at Utah. Can't even make the 2011 supplemental draft. Sits out. Gets drafted in the 2012 supplemental draft. Rookie, 800 yards, 5 touchdowns, no problems. 2013, had to sit out the first 2 games. I inhaled secondhand marijuana smoke. That's not true. I'm sorry, Josh, I don't believe you. I don't care what your essay says. I just do not believe it. You have a problem. You just can't admit it. I remember Randy Moss in an interview where he straight up said, yeah, I smoke weed all the time. He didn't care. You're in denial and you have a serious problem. Like you said, he went on to catch 1,600 yards, including, I think, 2 back-to-back games, 220-plus, with Brandon Whedon as his quarterback past summer, DWI, which he likes to point out in his essay, it was only 0.1 over the legal limit. So, it's like it shouldn't even count. Be quiet. I'm tired of the excuses from him. He gets sat out 10 games, plays in 5. He's suspended for the last game, like you said, shows up late, puts on a wrong jersey, could have been high, could have been drunk, who knows. And now this, drinking on an airplane, had 2 drinks and 2 beers. And it's just like, I don't buy the excuses anymore. I don't know you as a person, you're right. Like, I'm just going to refer to that essay like you're writing it towards me. I don't know you. I've never shaken your hand. I've never done any of that. I don't know who you are, but I can tell that you have a problem. You just can't not fail a drug test. You have all of the ability, and I was telling one of my friends this earlier, the guy is just built for success. He is a great athlete. He has great size. He has great hands. He has great speed. He could be somebody good. You put him with a great quarterback, he is going to be a top receiver in this league, and that is my opinion. But now with these problems, he'll never get that chance. And then that brings you to the point of, should the Browns release him? In my opinion, yes. He apologizes saying about the Browns sticking by him. They're not going to stick by you anymore. You're gone. I'm sorry. You're not going to stay there. They already have Johnny Manziel to worry about, who's supposedly getting better yesterday in an interview. I don't know. I think they have too much on their plate. They're not going to keep you around for another year. He signed a 4-year he signed a 4-year contract after the supplemental draft for $5.3 million. So it's not like he's making big money, you know. He's due for his contract, but I don't think the Browns are gonna give it to him. Do you have an opinion on that, Roscoe? Do you think the Browns should release him? Do you think they will? What do you think they're gonna do?
You know, I don't think they're gonna release him or cut ties with him, because he's cutting the ties with them by himself. He's single-handedly ruining his career. He's cutting the ties. He's releasing himself. You know, he's going to get this one-year ban, and he won't. I honestly can't see him returning to the NFL, much less the Cleveland Browns. I think the Browns have went through too much with him. They were with him when he was suspended 10 games this year, 2 games the year before that. They gave him a chance coming out of college, like you said, in a supplemental draft. It's just too much. I can't see the Browns after the one-year ban, because I do think that counts as a contract year for him, even though he's on suspension. I just don't see them, especially with the coaching staff and the regime they got there now. It's more of a hard-nosed group, where you're going to learn to be disciplined, you're going to follow the rules that we've set, and Josh Gordon just can't do that, which is, I can't see him in the NFL. I mean, you tell me one team who's going to give him another chance after 5 failed substance abuses. I do believe it's the 5th one after all through Baylor, the warning and the supplemental draft and the 2 at Cleveland. I just, you know, and it seems like he does have a few players around him. I saw Phil Taylor on Twitter tweeting, you don't know this guy, you know, you're not in his footsteps. That's whatever, man. This dude is building excuses to nowhere. He's just looking for excuse after excuse to, you know, get away from it all and hide in the shadow. He's trying to hide from it all. What he needed to do is man up, accept the help from Chris Carter, a guy who went through it before, top 5 wide receiver, Hall of Famer, and just change everything he's done. But I think he's too egotistical. He has too much pride. He's ignorant. He just doesn't want to change. And I don't see any team who could give him a chance to play for them. And it hurts because, you know, he does have top-tier talent. He could be a great wide receiver, Hall of Famer. I mean, he was putting up 200-yard games with Brandon Weeden and Jason Campbell as his quarterback. You know, those guys, if you put him with a Drew Brees, a Tom Brady, imagine what he could do. It's just, it's a shame that he's wasting this much talent on drugs, alcohol, and just not obeying the rules that are set for him.
You know, this is his, actually, it's amazing. This is his 6th failed drug test since his sophomore year of college, and I believe the 7th suspension, counting the suspension for him passing out in a Taco Bell and not being found with marijuana on his in his system, but I guess I'm pretty sure he was high. At first, I thought it was a sad situation because of... Actually, you know what? I really never thought it was a sad situation. I guess I feel bad because he won't admit to having a problem. I mean, that's the first step. He has a problem. It's just obvious at this point. He can't stay away from drugs or alcohol. I don't think the NFL isn't going to ban him, I don't think, because, you know, the drug policy, they're following it. You know how the NFL follows their rules. This is his 5th ban, so this is going to result in a year now. So I think he will be able to play, you know, come September 2016, at least he'll be a free agent probably. I don't see the Browns keeping him. If you were a team and Josh Gordon was a free agent trying to get a new contract, would you go after Josh Gordon?
Would I go after him?
Yeah, would you? If you were a franchise owner, were you an owner and you said, you know what, let's give Josh Gordon a chance.
Hell no, he's a cancer. The guy is a cancer to your team. The Cleveland Browns in this past year regressed once he came back to the team. He doesn't I'm just sold that he doesn't want to play football. I'm pretty sure he wants to be a used car salesman. And
yeah, he could do all the drugs he wanted if he was at was with them. Selling used cars, he can do whatever he wants.
I don't know if he's as good as being a car salesman as a football player. I know it's going to be pretty damn hard. But if I'm a GM, there's no way I'm signing that guy. He hasn't shown me anything. This past year, he made his team regress. He didn't play 100% on every play. I just can't. If I'm a GM, no, I can't sign him. I can't do it.
I agree. I wouldn't sign him either. And if I took a chance on him, I'd give him the bare minimum, which I even feel like he wouldn't take. You know, I feel like he'd be greedy, and I just feel like he wouldn't even take a low contract.
Maybe he'll go to Denver where the weed's legal. You never know.
Yeah. But then again, he's still
he's still not legal in the NFL, but he don't know that. He's ignorant.
Exactly. He's not smart. You know, he keeps making these moves, and, you know, maybe people are judging us, saying, how are you going to call someone sorry? The man is flat-up dumb. And he's dumb at this point. He's completely thrown away. And it's funny because I told you, you know, I told everybody who I talk sports with after this 10-game suspension, I said he already threw his career away. Now he's doing something more. He continues to throw his career away. When I got that notification, I could not believe it. I laughed at just the irony of and the stupidity and the ignorance to call out all these people and say, you're wrong, I don't have a problem. I inhaled second smoke marijuana. I had 4 drinks. I'm not even a social drinker. Like, just be quiet, Josh. You go out partying the night before a walkthrough and you're just, what are you, a social partier? Like, it just makes no sense at all. All right, well, it's fair to say no one would give Josh Gordon a chance between me and you. Maybe someone will. Now we'll move on to our next topic. Media Day, the other day, Marshawn Lynch being forced to talk to the media in NFL rules. The NFL does ask players to speak to the media, resulting in fines. Marshawn Lynch has been an advocate of this the last 2 years, maybe a year and a half, I'll be fair to say. I mean, what's your opinion, Roscoe? I'll let you go first. You know, what's he, like, whatever he's doing right now, what do you think of it?
I know I'm going to take some heat for this, but I don't think he should be fined for what he does. The guy doesn't like talking to the media, all right? And I don't know why some players are forced to talk to the media when there is enough, I don't want to say wild mouth and arrogant players out there, but there are players who enjoy talking to the media, enjoy expressing their opinions through their voice. For example, Richard Sherman, he makes up for Marshawn Lynch not talking to the media. And Marshawn Lynch is just, it's fine after fine with him, and I think the NFL is just looking for ways to find the guy. He doesn't want to talk to the media, so he goes out there and says things like, "I'm just here so I won't get fined."
Do you find it coincidental that he had no problem speaking to the media throughout high school, college, with the Buffalo Bills and with the Seahawks earlier in his career? He didn't have a problem speaking to them before, and he's doing commercials about his interviews, and he did an interview with, he was actually on Conan O'Brien last night, which, you know, I know it's not an interview, but man, you must be okay with going on Conan O'Brien. I mean, because he's saying it's a social issue that he doesn't like speaking in front of people, but yet he can go on Conan, and he's been doing interviews his whole career, and all of a sudden he's not. What do you think of that? Do you think he's just trying to be he one day he woke up and said, I don't want to speak to anybody, or what do you think's going on with that?
I don't know what he's trying to do when he's going on because I didn't even see that he was on Conan O'Brien. So I don't know what to say on that. But why should he be forced to talk to the media? I mean, it seems like from what his teammates say and how he reacts, he doesn't feel comfortable in front of them. And he doesn't want to say anything bad or disregarding, so he just keeps his mouth shut. The man's focused on playing football. Let's look at that. He's focused on playing football. He's focused on the game. If he doesn't want to take his focus off that and answer questions, I was watching something on ESPN today, and a woman asked him, "How's your mother doing?" What does that have anything to do with the football game?
Well,
in
the situation he's in right now, it's media day. They ask dumb questions, and Mike and Mike said it best. And I do agree with you on this. Media day has become a joke. It's not even about the game anymore. It's about dumb questions. And you know what? I do agree that personal players should not be allowed to speak on or about their personal lives. But let's just get this one thing clear. It is a rule in the NFL you have to speak to the media. And let's not forget that Marshawn Lynch did sign a contract that states he's going to have to, speak to the media. And let's also not forget that he's getting paid a lot of money. He's getting paid to play a football game that a lot of people play because it's the NFL. Think about how many people watch the NFL. All these players want to be known. They want to be watched. They want to be viewed. They want to just be a role model. Yet he can't even speak to the media. Yet he can speak to the media. He'll sit up on the podium and he'll, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm okay with him going up there. Hey, Marshawn, how's your family doing? No comment. What kind of car you drive? No comment. Marshawn, how do you expect to, get through the Patriots front four? Blah, 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 blah. Speak about the football game. He just refuses to speak at all. He was quoted today saying, "I don't know what y'all trying to get out of me, the image you're trying to portray me." He goes, "I don't know what y'all are trying to make me look like." He's making himself look ignorant. He's doing it himself. And the NFL is all about images. We have a lot of young kids, young people watch this game, and we have a caller. You're on hold. We'll get to you as soon as possible. What are you trying to look like? He's making himself just look ignorant. He's making himself look dumb when he is the one who signed the contract. He's getting paid ridiculous amounts of money. And until it's not an NFL rule, he's got to speak to the media. He's got to get over it. He's got to be more professional than this because he's not being professional. And then this leads into the crotch grabbing. Do you agree with him at grabbing his crotch in the end zone, or do you agree with the NFL fining him for that?
You know what? It's funny that you bring that up because I'm going to bring up, it's disrespectful to grab his crotch while he's in the end zone. But how is the NFL going to sell pictures of him grabbing his crotch and then fine him for it?
Okay. That's what you're going to talk about. So is that the Amazon thing?
I mean, it's still an NFL product. I don't think it's right for him to grab his crotch. It is disrespectful. But I think the NFL should take that picture off. Because it is an NFL licensed product, correct?
They most likely took that off. I'd have to go see if they took it off. I did briefly see that. I'd have to see if they took it off. But, I mean, blame the NFL. If you're going to debate the rule, debate the rule with the NFL. If you don't like the rule, then you don't like the rule. But the thing is, though, just you got to speak to this. You got to speak to the media. I mean, today, Jeff Nixon, former defensive back for the Buffalo Bills, he came out and did an interview. He's at the Super Bowl festivities. He came out and said, he's saying that no one should force him to speak, but yet, and he said no one forced Marshawn to sign these contracts that require him and every other NFL player to talk to the media. Marshawn didn't have to sign that contract, but he did. So he signed a contract and refusing to do this. That's like signing a four-year contract but refusing to play. It makes no one sense. He has made over $58 million. Nixon said, when I, in the time I played, I never got that kind of money. For that kind of money, I would talk to the press like I was being waterboarded by the CIA. Like, he's got to talk to the media, and he's just making himself look dumb. He's sounding ignorant. He's sounding stupid, and he's just making himself look bad. You know, if you don't like the rule, fine. But like I said, it's in the contract. It's what he's getting paid for. The NFL is a promotional organization. They make money. They bring in a bunch of money. And yet you have Marshawn doing this. I just don't agree with it. I don't know how you can side with him sitting up there and just sounding dumb and being. He's laughing and joking around. And then they ask him, you know, what's this on your hat? You know, your hat, that's an NFL rule too. You can't wear an NFL licensed product, which I do think is dumb as well, but that's another discussion, you know, like with the Bose headphones and the Beats by Dre and stuff. And he just laughs and smiles and shows it to the camera, and he doesn't care. But, you know, as he's doing all this, he literally, like I said, Conor O'Brien last night, interviews through college, interviews through the Buffalo Bills with the Seahawks, doing commercials with Skittles. Like, you can't say he doesn't want to talk to the media and have the camera in his face when he's putting himself out with the media. It makes literally no sense.
I agree with you saying, but the Beast Mode hat is produced by New Era, so I don't know, is he going to get fined for that? Because New Era is...
Well, it's not... They said it's not an NFL licensed product, is what I heard. That's what I read.
Right.
It's Beast Mode logo, which is an unlicensed, I have it right here, it's an unlicensed product of the NFL. Which I'm not saying I agree with that rule, but he needs to speak to the media. Like, I think it's dumb how they say they can't wear Beats by Dre headphones. That's dumb. I'm sorry. Because we're not getting into that topic. I do think that's dumb. But I'm just saying, you know, it's a rule, Marshawn. If you don't agree with it, talk about how it's dumb. Don't just sit here and be ignorant and just make yourself look bad like this. It's not helping anything, and it's definitely not going to change anything.
I just, you know, it seems like he doesn't want to talk to the media at certain stages, like at the games and before this game. But, you know, I don't think that every player should be forced to talk to the media when it comes down to contract. I don't agree with that because some players are uncomfortable talking to the media fully, you know, and I just think that there's enough players who do want to talk to the media that they don't have to insist on talking to the guys who don't want to talk to the media.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
well,
I think...
You can go, continue.
I think the media on media day is just wasting their time by going to Marshawn Lynch for them 5 minutes. You've seen what he's done all year, so why is it going to change?
But now he's making a story. He's effectively, you see, he's trying to get away from the media, but he's pulling them in by doing this. But I'm gonna let this caller on the air and put in his 2 cents. Can you hear me, caller? You're on the air.
Yeah, I want to tell Roscoe, you can't tell that Marshawn Lynch. You can't say the guy doesn't like talking to the media because maybe Josh Gordon just doesn't like passing drug tests. You can't have one without the other. You can't say, oh, well, I'm going to stick with the NFL and the Browns on the rules about Josh Gordon. But because I like Marshawn a little better and because he doesn't want to talk to the media, he doesn't have to follow the rules to the contract. You also can't say that, and this goes for both of y'all, you can't say with the hats is dumb and the headphones because that's also in contracts. You are promoting the NFL. I said this the other day. You're not going to work for Pepsi and go in supporting Coke. That's competition, but Bose is the NFL's headphones, not Beats by Dre. It's competent to go in and not disrespect, but put out a different image that's not consistent with the NFL.
I mean, it's in the contract. I mean, I get what you're saying. I just think it's headphones. No, I'm not.
Right. Well, and he just thinks it's not talking to the media. So you can't. And I'm not on any side of this. But if you sign a contract saying that, you need to abide by it. If Josh Gordon signed a contract saying he'd stay away from drugs, and y'all want to say, okay, well, we'll stick with that, and the other one signed a contract saying you have to talk to the media and you can't support these non-licensed products, then you have to stick with it. It's the same thing. you can't have a double standard.
Not as much as a double standard, though. You know, Josh Gordon didn't necessarily sign a contract. It's just, I mean, he signed a contract not to be able to pass the drug test.
But now for Josh Gordon, it's
coming that he has a real problem. It's a problem with what he's doing.
Right, he's got a problem, but he's not upholding his end of the bargain, and neither is Marshawn Lynch. You can't have one without the other. They both need to uphold their ends. So in this case, and, you know, people want to say, oh, the NFL, no fun league, all this. Well, if that's in the contract and they willingly sign that contract, they're not being forced to, and you said yourself. So why sign the contract if you're not going to follow everything in it?
I agree. I mean, he doesn't care about the media thing. I mean, I don't necessarily. I just think the Josh Gordon thing, it's a little bit different. I mean, you're looking at I'm looking at just what he's doing at this point. He's dumb. He's talented and he's throwing away his career.
Oh, without a doubt.
And Marshawn Lynch, let's be real. Marshawn Lynch doesn't have I do believe that Josh Gordon is an alcoholic and he just won't stay away from marijuana. And Lynch doesn't have any problems. I don't think he has a learning disability.
Oh, he's obviously got a problem. He doesn't know how to follow rules.
I don't think Marshawn Lynch has a personal, has a head case. I don't feel like he has any mental deficiencies that would cause him to not speak to the media. That's what I'm trying to say. He's choosing not to do it, and he's making it a media thing. That's like Josh Gordon. Let me try to think of something. It's like Josh Gordon maybe saying, I'm not going to do drugs, but then he's, doing drugs anyway, and then he's going to step away and promote something else drug-related. Like, I mean, Marshawn Lynch he went on Conan O'Brien last night with Gronkowski. He's doing Skittles commercials, doing other multiple interviews. It makes no sense. Last year, he'll speak to Deion Sanders, but he will not speak to the media. He feels like the media is trying to make him out to be somebody when they're just trying to get, I don't know, comments,
yeah,
stories.
Okay, they both, and then again, I agree with you, but they're both blaming the media. You have Josh Gordon today in his essay saying, oh, well, y'all are painting me in this light and y'all don't know my story. Well, that's what Marshawn Lynch is saying, but, you know, they both have problems. They're both scum in the NFL, in my opinion.
All right. Do you have a Super Bowl prediction or you want to make any comments about the game?
Super Bowl prediction. So let's see. Patriots 35, Seahawks 0.
Nice.
Are you trying to?
Nice prediction.
Your honest prediction.
That is my honest opinion. I hate to see
your honest. Your honest opinion is 35-0. So you don't think you just think they're gonna
35
score?
Oh fucking Marshawn and Taz's shit.
Jesus. All right. You got another caller in. Caller, you're with us now. You have any opinions on anything?
Yeah, I got two questions. One, how big of a distraction do you think the Flakegate is? And two, do you think Jose Canseco's missing finger is going to affect the game? Thanks.
Jose Canseco. Okay.
Either will be no question valid. Sorry.
Well, I guess we'll leave that first question into the Flakegate, which we're going to talk about. His question was if the Flakegate is going to affect the game, and I actually do agree with him. We'll find that out in my Super Bowl preview. I do feel like it is a distraction. It's all that's been talked about for the past 2 weeks. And I do think it's going to affect the Patriots. And, you know, we'll talk about that in my Super Bowl preview. Roscoe, with the Flakegate, who do you think did what? You know, what do you think's going on? Do you buy what's going on? Do you think, you know, what's up?
Right now, I feel like there's only one person that you can't blame, and that's Bill Belichick.
Okay.
You know, because Brady has been quoted on saying, I do like the balls with a little less air in them. So that's a reason for him to deflate the balls. And then supposedly there's video evidence of a ball boy going into a secret room, taking the balls, coming back. So I think an equipment manager is at fault. Steve Belichick, when he says, "I had no recognition of this. I don't fool around with the balls." Because, you know, he's focused on everybody on the team. He's focused on making a game plan. He's got so much on his table that I don't think he's focused on the footballs. But what we have to realize is that if the balls were inflated, deflated at regular inflation, the Patriots would have still beat the Indianapolis Colts out of the water.
I do agree with that.
They still would have won. So arguing Deflategate on is it a fluke, I think that's just, you know, bizarre. And I don't buy everything that's being said from the Patriots. And I think Robert Kraft is just insane for coming out and saying, "Oh, I want an apology." Well, until everybody's cleared 100%, you're not getting an apology. And if they do find hardcore evidence that somebody did something to deflate the balls, whoever did it, equipment manager or Tom Brady, the NFL has to take some point.
I mean, I do believe Bill Belichick knows something. That's because I believe that, you know, Spygate, what are you going to say for Spygate? That was a five-year process. You know, that dated back to early Super Bowl in 2001 against the Rams when Marshall Faulk saw something, and then they turned out that found the tapes. You know, I do believe that they all knew. You know, Tom Brady has multiple times said that he will rather throw a deflated ball. And now they're saying the ball boy, the NFL has evidence. I just don't buy that, you know. The people who say that it's the cold weather, that's nonsense too, because, you know, they've tested that already. That's not the case, and all of Indianapolis's balls were fine. I do think it was a slip up on the officials as well, you know, because they do their checks of the balls. And so you really think they would have caught that, but they didn't. But I do think that Tom Brady knew about it. I think Belichick knew about it. I think they all knew about it. Chris Carter earlier was quoted saying, you know, "Do not salt my intelligence. You know, I'm a receiver, and I was a smart receiver. I was good at what I did." Brian LaFell, Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman are smart guys. When you catch a ball, are you going to tell me you can't tell it's not deflated? They all knew what was going on. It wasn't a big surprise, and they did it. And I do, and I'm going to be sad when, if I don't get any video evidence and I find out that a ball boy or something did it, I'm just not going to buy it. Like I said on my other radio show, you know, it's like they're probably just going to give someone a blank check, in my opinion. I'm not a big conspiracy guy, but why wouldn't they pay some young ball boy a bunch of money and say, "Just leave the team, we'll fire you, blah, 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 we had no clue"? I just don't buy it. I think the NFL is going to take action after the Super Bowl, and I do think this team's going to get at least lose some draft picks. I mean, at least something.
But if the NFL only has the evidence to prove that the ball boy did it, how can you blame that on Tom Brady? It's not like he took the air out. It's not like
how do you know that? And it doesn't matter who took the arrow, because let's be honest, if Tom Brady or Bill Belichick tells you to do something, you're going to do it. If you're a ball boy and Belichick said, and Brady says, "I like throwing the balls like this," guess what? You're going to do it. You're not going to be like, "Oh, Mr. Brady, that's against the rules," or, "Oh, I can't do that." You're going to do it. I'm sorry. I don't care if the ball boy is the one physically doing it. There's someone calling the shots. It's just like someone is murdered by an assassin, and let's say some, you know, it's the same concept. You're gonna get arrested for paying someone to kill someone for you. You know, you're still gonna get in trouble for that. There's discipline to certain actions, and it's probably, hopefully, going to get proven on Brady's part. I'm sorry, he knew. And that first interview was weird. You know, I don't think I've ever really noticed someone lying before, but that was ridiculous. Brady just looked shaken. He was lying. His voice was cracking. You know, I think it's pretty obvious that they did something and he knew about it.
Like I said, I don't believe Brady that he knew nothing about it, but I do believe Belichick. And like you said, Brady's press conference, yes, it was shady. He did act like he knew something and he didn't want to come up and say anything. But Belichick didn't act like that. Belichick was pretty straightforward. What, are we going to say he's just the all-evil Belichick and can keep a straight face on anything? Brady knew something, and Brady should be, once they find out what happened and they have all the evidence to point out, this guy did it, it was because of this guy, that's that. That's when we can close this case on the flip gate.
All right, we do have another caller, and caller, you're on the air if you have any questions about anything.
Yeah, I just wanted to clear some stuff up for Roscoe here. Roscoe, it's kind of like if someone catches a fish over the limit, puts it in an ice chest, and puts it in the back of your truck, and while you're driving, Wildlife and Fisheries pulls you over, who's going to get the blame for it?
You or Roscoe, you're going to get the blame for it. Roscoe, you're going to get in trouble for that.
You would get in trouble for it, why?
Because you have the fish, but we're talking fish and footballs now. What we're saying is that there's no complete evidence on who did what. So why are we instigating that Brady did this and Belichick did this and this one did that? The Flakegate is being blown out of proportion. There's a football game Sunday. There's evidence that one guy did something. That's all we know. Other than that, what else do we know about the Flakegate? It's all instigation.
But like Andrew said here, you are a quarterback. Your job is to know. You touch the football a lot. You should know whether something's up or not. And if you do play on, therefore you are guilty as well.
I mean, he knows what he's throwing, Roscoe. It's not like this is Blake Bortles. No offense to Blake Bortles. This is Tom Brady. He's been leading this team since 2001. He's got multiple Super Bowl rings. This is his sixth Super Bowl. He knows what he's doing. He's been fed for the past 2 years. I prefer throwing a deflated football. It's obvious at this point. Brady's going to get targeted for it, and Brady's going to get in trouble for it. Like you said, Belichick might not get in trouble for it, but I do think Belichick knew. You know why? Because in his last press conference, and I believe Skip Bayless, who people judge me, I do like some of his opinions. Some of them are dumb. Some of them I really enjoy. Like he said Belichick threw Brady under the bus. You're going to have to ask the quarterback. I don't know anything about that. And why would Bill Belichick throw Tom Brady under the bus like that? Oh, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, just go talk to him. I don't throw the football. And then he's making comments about My Cousin Vinny. Great movie. Besides the point. It makes, I'm pretty sure the whole team has to know. Like I said, the receivers, the tight ends, they knew, Roscoe. I mean, 11 of the 12 balls. And this is what I'm saying, though. This team would still be in the Super Bowl either way, in my opinion. I don't think this takes away from how good this team is. And like you said, it shouldn't be the Deflategate Super Bowl, but it's going to be, and it's going to be forever remembered that. I mean, Roscoe, so you definitively
so
think Tom Brady...
It's gonna be, the Patriots lost the Super Bowl because of the Deflategate.
If they lose, that is going to be the excuse. And in my
Here's
opinion, favorite. I know that... You can go.
So
you can go.
And another thing, how many times does a ref touch a ball during a game?
A lot. And I'm not blaming the refs. I think the ref, head officiator of that game needs to be probably fired. I'm not saying that because they checked 11 of them. And, oh, look, 11 of the 12. You know, it's like maybe it hasn't happened before. Maybe they do it in certain situations when they feel like it's going to be, oh, I don't know, 50 degrees and raining like it was that game. Let's underdeflate the footballs. I don't know. But I think that's what happened. And I'm not saying the refs shouldn't be disciplined. I'm just saying the Patriots need to be disciplined for this because Tom Brady knew what he was throwing. Belichick knows what's going on. The receivers know what they're catching. I mean, come on now. I'm not blaming Belichick. I'm blaming Belichick for knowing. Like, let's talk about Sean Payton. Sean Payton didn't know about the bounty gate. He knew about the bounty gate. He just kept his nose out of it. Belichick probably knew the same thing. He just kept the nose out of it. I'm not saying Belichick touches every football and holds it in his hands. I'm just saying he just turned his other cheek, just like Sean Payton did.
I said Tom Brady should be at fault. That's why I'm leaving it at. He's the one who touched the balls. He's the one who threw the balls. He's the one at fault on that team, if it's besides the ball boy.
And Belichick is going to get in trouble for that. You know why? Because the head coach is Bill Belichick. He is Tom Brady's head coach. Like, just like Sean Payton, Greg Williams should just get in trouble. Well, you know what sucks? Sean Payton was the head coach of that team. He's going to have to go down with him. I'm not saying he should have been suspended for a whole year, but, I mean, I'm not going to say he shouldn't have been suspended. It should have been much lighter, but we're not going to get into that discussion. But I'm just letting you know they're going to get in trouble for it.
Never said they wouldn't get in trouble for it. I'm just saying that we don't know what has happened. We don't know who's at fault. It could be Brady. It could be Belichick. My opinion, I think it's Brady. That's what I'm saying. Brady is at fault, in my opinion. We will see once everything comes out, all the evidence, that who was at fault is going to get reprimanded for this. And that's that.
Okay, so let's put it this way. We'll end it like this. Do you think the Patriots have played their footballs?
Obviously.
Do you think Tom Brady makes that decision that we're playing a game in the rain? I want my balls underdeflated. Do you think he makes that call, or do you think the ball boy does?
Tom Brady has said on air, I like my balls
yes.
a little underdeflated. That's what
the
I'm
lowest
at.
Possible.
I don't think Tom Brady stuck a needle in a ball and underdeflated the ball.
I'm not saying that either. But he also said he wants it at the lowest possible legal limit. Do you believe that he purposefully wants it underdeflated, or do you think he just wants it low?
Who doesn't want the ball low? It makes it easier to throw, makes it easier to grip, makes it easier to catch.
Yeah. And who wouldn't want a lot of things that's illegal? So that's where I get with that. We'll get to the game now. Pick Roscoe. Who you like in this game and why?
I'm taking the Patriots and the Super Bowl. I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be way better than last year's shellacking over the Broncos.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be a tough game, a good game. I expect a good game plan from one of the greatest football coaches in Bill Belichick. I think he's going to have the team ready with all this Deflategate stuff that everybody wants to talk about. There's a game Sunday. Belichick knows that. The team knows that. He will have the team ready to play. I want everybody that's listening to know that. Belichick will have this team ready to play come Sunday.
I agree with that. You give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to prepare. He'll do some.
He's like Saban. You give a guy 2 weeks to prepare. You give him extra time to prepare. He will have the team ready to play. That's why he's as good as he is.
Just like Saban had him ready to play against Ohio State, right?
Yeah, just like that. I mean, what about against LSU? Nobody wants to talk about that, huh?
Hey,
anyways,
Anthony Jennings has to do is run for that first one. All right. If you're a Saints fan, you can go ahead, and I'll give you a few seconds to turn off. My heart tells me Patriots. My gut tells me Seahawks, 27-24. They have destiny on their side. Let's let's get real. I mean, onside kick recovery, all you got to do is block, let Jordy Nelson catch it. Come on now. They just found a way to win. I mean, Russell Wilson keeps doing things that's ridiculous. I'm not saying he's a great quarterback. I think their offense is just average at best. I just think they're going to find a way to win. Plus, their defense is awesome. Their secondary is getting a little hammered, though, and that's what brings me to the point of if the Patriots, I do believe that if the Patriots' offensive line, you know, can hold up and can really protect Tom Brady, I think they will find that they can find a way to win. That secondary is beat up as well in Seattle. Let's get real. Look at the Super Bowl from 2008, I believe, whatever. Giants' first Super Bowl, their front four just beat up on Tom Brady in New England. They had one of the best offenses in the league that year, the best offense in the league, in 17-0. And they just got held. You know, they didn't do anything. Tom was pressured. He was hit. They didn't have any run game. And I'll look at it this way. I don't think LeGarrette Blount is going to find success running against the Seahawks defense. And I just don't think Tom is going to do enough. Granted, I think Bill Belichick and the Patriots staff are more disciplined and they're a better team than Green Bay. So, I mean, I think they would have found different ways to score. You know, I know Green Bay got held to 2 field goals early. That's New England. They probably score. If Seahawks –
they go for it. Belichick goes for it in that situation because Belichick has guts unlike McCarthy.
Okay. Anyway, well, if Morgan Burnett or – you know, there's a lot of things that should have happened, but I'm not blaming McCarthy for that game. But, I mean, New England can win this game and they should win this game, but they just won't. Seahawks are going to find a way to win. The defense is too good. And I think the Patriots' defense is very underrated. I think they're going to do a good job stopping the run, in my opinion, but I just don't see it. I just don't see their offense having much success against that defense. I do think the Deflategate has affected this a little bit. They're getting tired of it. They're getting annoyed with it. I just think Seattle's going to win 27-24 because of their defense. Defense wins championships. I hate them. I don't like the team. I'm a Saints fan till death, but I mean, the proof is there. They are a phenomenal football team, and if you're a Saints fan, you deny that they are a good football team, you're just lying to yourself because we went 7-9 and we were terrible this past year. So that's the truth. It's going to be a great game, though. I do agree with you on that. This is going to be one of the best Super Bowls in a while. The Seahawks screw up early. 4 interceptions from Russell Wilson, multiple interceptions, turnovers. They're going to lose this game. But I am going to go Seattle 27, Patriots 24.
And I'm going to give a score prediction also. I'm going to say Patriots 27, Seahawks 17.
It's going to be a close game. I mean, it's going to be a great game. I mean,
I think it's
going to be really good.
I think it's going to be a close game also, but I think, you know, it's going to be a 3-point game going into that last drive, and Seahawks will have to stop the Patriots, and I think Brady's going to punch it in the end zone one more time to give it a, you know, little icing on a cake, and that's how I see it ending. You know,
can the Seahawks team beat this New England Patriots team? I mean, who do you think, like, who do you think are the two best teams in the NFL? Like, do you think this is a good representation of the NFL this year, team-wise?
Team-wise, these are definitely the two best teams.
Okay.
In the NFL this year
too. Yeah.
You have both, not just because they're number one seeds, but yes, these are both the number one seeds from each side. NFC and AFC. But the Patriots, their road, that they both overcame adversity throughout the year. They both had to do some things to, because early in the year, the Patriots didn't really have a run game. I mean,
they really don't have a run game.
I would say LeGarrette Blount is a pretty good run game for them.
How great is he though? I mean, are we gonna, you know, I mean, how great is LeGarrette Blount? Okay, well, how great is LeGarrette Blount going up against this Seahawks defense? One of the best defense in the NFL. One of the best defense in the past few years we've seen.
He's not great, but he can run the ball. And I don't believe that the Seahawks run defense is all that great. Don't get me wrong. They have the best.
That's
pass
their weakness.
Defense.
Well, see, that
that's
their
weakness. Exactly.
The run game is a weakness.
I think LeGarrette Blount can get the job done. I think
he's a weakness. He is they're a weakness. They got exposed against the Cowboys, but again, the Cowboys had the best O-line in the NFL and one of the best running back in the NFL this year. The Patriots have LeGarrette Blount and a solid offensive line. Now their secondary is beat up. That's another thing. Their secondary is completely beat up, and that's where
you got Earl
that's
Thomas
where like
with an injury, Sherman with an injury,
and
yeah.
Sherman. That's where I want to say that Tom Brady and the New England Patriots will win this game, but I just feel like the Seahawks are going to win this game. I'm watching that last game, the NFC Championship game. I believe in fate. I believe in all that. I mean, come on, recover an onside kick after Russell Wilson's thrown four interceptions.
Catch.
They're good, and they know how to execute in certain situations. I mean, again, we're having a completely different discussion if Morgan Burnett takes it all the way instead of taking a slide. We're having a completely different discussion, think the Patriots.
Like the Seahawks came back? Yes. The Patriots were down 14 points to the Ravens two times, twice,
mm-hmm.
and they came back both times, and then they lashed a lacking on Indianapolis. So they both overcame that adversity, and they both had that fate, and they both played tough games to get here. These are the two best teams. It's going to be a great game, and I think the X factor is Tom Brady with the little short passes and the quick releases. I think that's what hurts the Seahawks in the passing game the most. Not that it hurts them a lot, but it does hurt them, and I think that's a key factor in a game.
All right, we'll just have to find out and see.
Wait and see. We got Friday, Saturday, about three more days.
And Sunday. What do you think of the halftime performance? It's gonna be a good one.
I can't wait to see Katy Perry. You know, hopefully there's a little nip slip out there, sorry folks. But hopefully she repeats Janet Jackson.
Jesus. All right. Last thing we'll touch on. We only have, I think, a minute left. Live at least. Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather, they're going to fight. What do you think about it? Are you excited for it as I am?
May 2nd, let's get it on.
I can't wait. It's going to probably be in Vegas, if I had to guess. I think they should just put it in Cowboy Stadium, let all the people go out to it. Cause put it in Cowboy Stadium.
Let it be
Stadium.
Mandalay Bay.
Put Mandalay Bay. Wow. Who do you think wins that fight? Probably Floyd or Pacquiao?
I'm a Floyd fan. Money team. I'm going to put my money on Floyd Mayweather.
I do think Floyd wins it as well, but I don't know what he's doing right now. Do you think his reputation is tarnished until he fights Pacquiao?
I mean, the dude's still the best in boxing, I think, but, I mean, boxing isn't what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see. But not to cut you off, we've got 10 seconds. Thank you guys for listening. We're about to get verified on iTunes. Download a podcast. I'll let you guys know on Twitter. Give us a follow and see you guys Tuesday.
Follow Twitter.
All right, we're done. Thank you guys.